KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Press Play on 89.9 KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. It is time now for this week's movie reviews, and here to tell us whether or not we can expect any glimmers of sunshine in the usually dreary January film forecast are William Bibbiani and Katie Walsh. William is film critic and co-host of the podcast Canceled Too Soon and the critically acclaimed network. Hi, Bibbs.
Hello.
And Katie reviews films for the Tribune News Service, the Los Angeles Times, and The Wrap. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. All right. We have some grim movies about worldwide disasters this week, beginning with a sci-fi thriller starring Ariana DeBose, who won an Academy Award, and Chris Messina. This takes place on the International Space Station, and in it, the astronauts and cosmonauts on board literally watch as war breaks out on Earth below them. This movie is called ISS.
War has broken out below, and we were told to take the ISS
by any means necessary.
If we got orders from our government to take control,
what do you suggest we do now?
The Russians got the same orders as us, and they destruct first.
All right, Katie, on the ISS, Russians and Americans, some old-fashioned Cold War era tension. What did you think?
I really liked ISS. Essentially, there's three American astronauts and three Russian cosmonauts on this International Space Station, and they each receive a separate message, having to take control of the space station as they see this crazy nuclear attack happen on the planet below them. But the most tension comes not from action sequences, but like there's a conversation where two astronauts are making a sandwich and you're sort of on the edge of your seat, like because everything becomes so loaded and so meaningful because you don't know, is this person manipulating me? Is this person going to pull something? Because in the beginning of the movie, we see that they've all developed this really nice friendship. I mean, they're sharing the space, they're bonded, they're falling in love with each other, maybe they're all becoming, you know, they're really close. It's this happy sort of unity, but it's an interesting reflection of, you know, what happens on the Earth is, you know, even though it seems so far away and they're looking at the globe and seeing no borders, like everything that happens on the space station in microcosm. It's directed by Gabriella Cowperthwaite, who you might know, who directed the documentary Blackfish. I really enjoyed this. I liked how quietly tense it was.
Ooh. Bibbs, ISS, yay or nay?
I think I'm going to go with. Okay. I didn't like it as much as Katie did, but I don't think it's a wash. I think what we've got here is a great concept and a pretty darn good cast. And I think it struggles to be a thriller when it tries to actually give you the thrills. There's a sequence in the movie, for example, where two people are like trying to like fight, and there might be like a fight to the death, and it's in zero gravity, and it's kind of hard to make that look like exciting or intimidating because of the very nature of everyone kind of floating around kind of helplessly. And I don't think Gabriella Cowperthwaite finds the way to unlock that moment and other moments kind of like it. I couldn't get over the thought in my head that this probably would have been better as with, you know, trying to ignore the thriller elements and just being like a really tight Outer Limits episode, just claustrophobic and more about the performances than about any kind of action, because I think that's where the movie falters. But those elements do work.
And Ariana DeBose, who is really best known for Broadway, and she won her Academy Award for West Side Story. This is an action role. Is she okay making that transition?
She's convincing. It's not like she can only play that one character from West Side Story. She's a really good actor, and I think she definitely feels at home here. And yeah, I want to see her do more of everything. She's super duper talented.
It's more of a drama role. I would not say gets a lot of action.
She's not fighting in zero gravity.
Maybe like a little bit, but not. It's not Alien. I'll just say that.
Okay. ISS in theaters in wide release beginning today. Next up, we have a British survival film. It's called The End We Start From. And catastrophic flooding has hit London, which forces a woman to flee her home with her newborn child just days after giving birth.
I don't understand what this rejection of the world means.
Where are you going to go?
Home. Going home.
Okay, that's Jodie Comer there, and this also stars Benedict Cumberbatch, directed by Mahalia Bello, and based on a book of the same name by Megan Hunter-Bibbs. What did you think?
I don't know what it is about the world today that has led all of the movies coming out this week to be about the apocalypse or social collapse. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. I know exactly why that is. Everything is on fire. This is probably the biggest bummer of all of them. This is a very bleak, sad movie about, you know, an environmental disaster, not the one that we're all specifically worried about, but torrential downpours on the British Isles lead to flooding. They lead to catastrophe. People are dying. People are fighting over resources. People fighting to get to higher ground. And Jodie Comer has just given birth, like at the very start of the disaster. And she's just trying to take care of her baby. And she's just trying to find a place to survive. I'm of the belief that there are only three kinds of movies. There are post-apocalyptic movies. There are pre-apocalyptic movies, which is most movies. And then there's mid-apocalyptic movies. And this is a mid-apocalyptic movie. And I find those to be the most depressing because you actually get to see how everything falls apart. I found this movie very thoughtful, and I thought the performances were very sensitive and endearing. But, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm watching this and I'm just like, so no real hope then, huh? Like, we're not really at that point as a society. Like, it's not the most depressing thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to say it ends with, like, you know, just everyone in the world dying, but at the same time, this is not a fun movie. This is a very dark drama, and it's good for that.
No rainbows at the end of this. Yeah,
this is not a fun apocalyptic movie. This is a sad drama.
Right. And we are in real life experiencing a lot of flooding and torrential rain. So it does seem scary when it's more realistic instead of, you know, crazy, I don't know, space aliens and all that. Katie, what did you think?
It was hard to watch at times because it feels very realistic, not only in the fact that it is torrential flooding, which is not some unrealistic out of the crazy world idea that could actually happen. But also in the way that you see society break down sort of these shelters, the scarcity of food causing people to get really desperate, the way some people just run away and sort of isolate themselves from it, the way some people want to return to their homes. And it took me in some really unexpected places. I think that I would say it is a bleak film, but it does end on a hopeful note in the sense of people will try to rebuild and people will constantly be trying to come back to what things were. And so maybe that's not, you know, what's possible in the future, but it just has a sense of, like, I don't know, it felt very realistic in how people try to bring society back together. And I think Jodie Comer is probably one of the best actors working today. She's incredible in this film, and she basically hikes all over England with a baby strapped to her chest. So it's quite a performance. But I think that it's a really great directorial debut. I think Mahalia Bello has done some TV and shorts, but this is her first feature. And it's quite impressionistic at times, and then also really efficient with the storytelling. So I think it's a really strong debut.
The End We Start From in select theaters today. Next, another British disaster film. This one's called The Kitchen. It stars musician and rapper Kano and is co-directed by Daniel Kaluuya.
I really like what it tastes like.
Yeah. You see it by yourself.
I haven't got anywhere else to go.
All right. This takes place in London in a dystopian future where residents of a community called The Kitchen refuse to abandon their homes. And Bibbs, you saw this one solo.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us more about the plot and what you thought.
Okay. So, The Kitchen takes place in the nearish future. Things are pretty recognizable. Class disparity has led some people to live in a very beautiful soulless, but very beautiful, well-maintained buildings. And everyone else is living in basically this part of the city that is just falling apart, but it's their home. And in an effort to basically take all of that land from squatters, there are just random raids, like, all the time, just to drag people away, and then we never see them again. It's very bleak, and I use that word a lot this week, because it's a bleak week. But here's the thing. You know how some movies are interesting?
Mm-hmm. And some are not.
Yeah, so there's The Kitchen as well. The Kitchen takes that interesting sort of background and premise, and then that's the movie. Like, there's nearly not much happening on top of that. Kano plays a guy who's trying to save enough money to get himself out of The Kitchen, and into his life comes a young boy who may or may not be his son. And will his indifference turn to concern?
Will there be a father-son type of relationship?
Yeah. Maybe. And that suggests that this is going to be some kind of, like, engaging emotional journey. And somehow the movie manages to sidestep that, too. It's depicting this world, and it seems pretty content to let that be the case. But the world itself that we are introduced to isn't a world that we haven't seen before. This is District B13 without the cool parkour stuff, you know? And as a result, it just feels like a weird, I hesitate to say a waste of time because that sounds so harsh, but I'm watching the movie and I'm saying to myself, I don't see anything here that you couldn't have come across in a short. It just feels really padded, and unfortunately, it's just not very engaging, either in its plot or its characters. So I was disappointed.
Okay. The Kitchen, streaming on Netflix beginning on Friday. Finally this week, a slasher film called Founders Day.
Many of you have asked why we are moving ahead with today's festivities in light of the recent tragedy. In these especially difficult times, Founders Day...
Don't you dare lecture me about Founders Day.
All right, so it's apparently days ahead of a heated mayoral election in a small town when a series of mysterious murders begin. And Katie, the killer is creeping around in a powdered George Washington-style wig. Is this a comedy?
No, but he does wield a gavel. So it's a slasher film, but it's more like a Founders Day.
Yeah. Oh, Founders
it's a political
Day.
Slasher. Yeah, you know, it's really funny. It's going back to kind of what Bibbs was saying about the previous film, and also, you know, just this, it's like, it's a slasher film. It's set around a holiday. There's a series of mysterious killings in a small town. Like, have I seen this before? Many, many times, and was like, it's just the most formulaic slasher I've ever seen. It's also about 20 minutes too long, and I just did not find this compelling at all. It's like they know slasher movies so well. They know them too well, because everything just unfolds beat by beat by beat, exactly how you kind of think it will. It just didn't grip me in that sense. It wasn't doing anything new with the genre. I just think there's better slasher films set around holidays that you can watch. But I think the acting is also kind of uneven. There's some great, like, sort of older character actors who are really wonderful. William Russ, who is the dad from Boy Meets World, is in this, and he's fantastic, but he's so much better than everyone else. And the movie looks great. I will say the movie really does look good. In terms of the way that it's shot, I just, the plot, the story, the characters were not doing it for me.
Bibbs, you are a horror and slasher fan.
Yes, I am.
I mean, probably the biggest I know. You love these movies, and?
I do. Yeah, this one isn't good. Katie's right about everything. This is the thing about slasher movies, and it's this thing about any kind of formulaic movie, whether it's slashers, romantic comedies, whatever, is that genre gives you like a skeleton, and on top of that skeleton you're supposed to put something fresh, a new coat of paint. You know, here it's a new holiday. Well, we haven't done Founders Day yet. Well, yeah, we're really scraping the barrel, aren't we? If we got the Founders Day. So towards the second half of the movie, it feels like they try to do a couple of things to try to throw us off guard. Maybe do like one plot point a little earlier than you expected to. And they're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. But ultimately, when it all comes together, the big reveal is super obvious. And the way that it tries to tie this all in to some sort of political statement is really thin. And I don't think it really gets at all of the divisiveness and all of the real anger at the heart of a lot of modern political discourse, which can be and has been the source for excellent horror movies before. The entire Purge series is based on how angry we are politically right now. And those really spoke to the moment for better and mostly worse. And here's one that is just going to be like, oh, yeah, they tried.
And failed.
Yeah. I've seen worse. I've seen worse. But this is just middle of the road.
Yeah, it's very middle.
Okay. Not mid-apocalyptic.
No, pre-apocalyptic. The apocalypse is in the distance.
Founders Day in theaters beginning today. And that does it for this week. Katie Walsh reviews films for the Tribune News Service, the Los Angeles Times, and The Wrap. William Bibbiani is a film critic and co-host of the podcasts Canceled Too Soon and the critically acclaimed network. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.